Hey, this is Travis Perry here, Travis's Big Idea Podcast. This week might be the week where I lose all my friends. Well, I don't know if I had friends in the first place. Ha ha ha. Well, I do have a few friends, but this is the post where I talk about Christian authors with most original story worlds. So last week's post, I talked about authors in general, and I wound up accidentally including a video game series called Myst among stories by non-Christian or general authors, and a number of commentators made it plain to me that Myst is essentially has Christian authors and not non-Christian. So it's a mistake of me to think of it that way. So this podcast is paralleling stuff I put in Speculative Faith, the blog post there. So I went back in Speculative Faith and changed it. I'm not going to change the podcast, though. So just to mention here on this podcast, what I did is I took out Myst out of the previous list and added it to this list. And then I added back in H.P. Lovecraft, because how can you forget H.P. Lovecraft when you're talking about original speculative fiction worlds? Though I kind of made it easy for myself. I cheated a little bit, if you can call it that. I didn't want to move around all the numbers in the list. So I picked just the short story, The Call of Cthulhu, because I don't think that's quite as original as the entire Lovecraftian mythos. If I did that, then it would grade higher. But just that particular short story wound up just being in number 9, which is where Myst was in that list, just so I don't have to redo the whole list, just to tell the truth here. But this week, I just want to go through the 10 stories of speculative fiction authors I think are the most original. And my pick includes an awful lot of looking at stories that people recommended on Facebook, looking down and making categories. I did the categories based on 4 things. One was how original it is. I rated them 1 to 5. And then I also looked at influence in other stories, 1 to 5. Number 3, what I call sales influence, 1 to 5 again. And then the last one would be how much, you know, influence on public discourse, how much the story gets people to talking, which I think is an important factor. Overall, I'm trying to, I guess you could say, track the influence that stories have in relation to originality. And I think originality does matter, but I draw some interesting or unexpected conclusions about that that I'll mention here in a little bit. So my choice for number 10 is Requiem 4. Requiem 4 is a novelette, if you call it. It's longer than a short story, not quite a novella, by Mike Doran, a friend of mine. You might think that I would pick Mike Doran's more well-known story series, Reagan Moon, but I didn't, and I don't want to insult Mike or anybody else. It's just that I think that Reagan Moon reminds me of some other stories in a number of ways. You know, you have a single detective with supernatural aspects. There was a TV show, Kojak, that had stuff like that years ago, though it didn't have it exactly the same way. And even the Ghostbusters movies have something in common with going out fighting the supernatural. Of course, the approach is different. But for me, Reagan Moon is not tremendously original. But Requiem 4 really is quite original, or struck me that way. It combines military science fiction with demons, a dystopian future, and Nephilim, which I thought was pretty original. Now, I have to say up front, give a disclaimer, that I helped edit the story. Mike sent me and asked me my opinion of some of the military aspects of the tale, and I gave my opinion. I'm not saying that I'm responsible for this story, not at all, but having helped with it does make me aware of it. I may have judged it a little bit more harshly, in fact, than I otherwise would have based on the fact that I knew I worked on it. But as far as originality is concerned, I would say that this tale rates a 5 for originality. I think it was quite original. As far as influence on other stories, unfortunately, I wish it did influence a lot of stories, but I think it only probably gets 1 point. Concerning sales, I really don't know for certain, but I would guess by looking at the number of ratings it has, it probably is around a 2. And then concerning influence on public discourse, it's really hard for a story that most people are not aware of to influence public discourse, but I would say it's probably a 1, unfortunately. Or no, actually, I said 2 is what I made up my mind, 2 points, so 10 points total. Any downsides to the story? Well, it could be disturbing for some readers. It's not supremely graphic, but it's a bit graphic. And I really also don't really agree with the idea that Nephilim might be demons or there's a connection between the two things. But that's drawn from works of a guy named Dr. Michael Heiser, who's a well-known scholar. And, you know, putting something like that in a story for fictional purposes is totally legit, even if you don't agree with it, just because you're trying to make a good story. But just this particular point, I don't think I particularly agree. Okay, number 9 is Brent Week's Lightbringer series. It's not one I've read. It's something that people recommended to me on Facebook. But the story world premise is one of magic divided up by colors. And that's not commonly done. Though I have to say the Black Prism, first in this series, which was published in 2010, that's a long time after the card game Magic came into existence, which was 1993. And Magic's been doing color magic, you know, ever since then. And probably it may have existed before that, but I'm aware of Magic the Gathering. And of course, Magic the Gathering system has 4 colors. And this book series by Mr. Weeks has 7 colors. So it's different. And also my understanding is that his series does gunpowder and weapons, simple machines. It's not exactly the typical fantasy story of swords and sorcery. So he gets some credit for originality for that. But overall, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but I don't find that extremely original, a little original. So I'd give it a 3 points for originality. I think influence on other stories, it's hard to say because it's relatively new. I guess I'm old enough. I think of the past 10 years as relatively new. But I would say there was probably some influence, so I'd give it a 2. Concerning sales, I think Lightbringer series has done pretty well from what I can tell, so I'd give it 4 points. But it doesn't have that big Hollywood movie deal yet that I know of. And as far as influence on public discourse, I don't know if there is any at all. Maybe diehard fans have some, but as far as I can tell, there isn't any. So 1 point. Now, as far as downsides, it's hard for me to comment when I haven't actually read it, but I have read dozens of Amazon reviews to get a sense of what is good and what is bad about this story. And I did see a few readers complain that the male characters all seem like chauvinists. I don't know if that's a radical opinion or not. I can't say since I haven't read it. I also heard someone complain about an excessive use of the F word and sex. I do know Mr. Weeks. I met him in person at a Realmakers conference. I know for sure he's a Christian. However, his reviewers don't particularly comment on Christian aspects of the story either. So it just seems to be basically a story. And I might think that that's somewhat negative or somewhat of a disadvantage. So the next story in this series is the Myst video games. I already talked about it last week, but I included it back in. It's interesting that it was at number 9 in last week's post to come up to number 8. Overall, the point system this time around is a little bit lower. The overall points, I think last time was 11 to 17 points, and now is 10 to 16 points. Look, this point system is made up by me, but I'm trying to stick to it faithfully and use internal rules that make sense. And overall, the Christian stories rated a little bit lower than the stories that we would say were general stories or not specifically Christian stories. Now, why exactly that is, I'm not completely sure, but I'll comment a little bit more about that at the end of this podcast. But anyway, Myst did well. It was a sequel, or it had a number of sequels, including Riven. People loved it. They loved the immersive aspects of it. And certainly the creators of the game, I found out, are very Christian guys, that they refer to the maker in the game series as a reference to God. It's not in your face, but it's definitely there. Somebody told me that there might be negative influences in Myst in regard to some people might object to the magic system, but I don't specifically know why that would be. So my pick for number 7 would be The Dark Trench Saga by my friend Carrie Neitz. And that's where maybe I can run myself into trouble. I pick the works of a friend, but I am trying to pick it on an objective basis because I think that Carrie really did a nice job. One of the things, though, that's kind of ordinary, I guess, I think a lot of stories are cyberpunk. And I didn't notice that Carrie's cyberpunk is extremely unique, as far as I could tell. However, it's set in a dystopic Islamic future where Islam has basically conquered the entire world. And as Islamic bands, you could say, or groups are at war with one another. And the cyberpunk folks are supporting this war by various kinds of programming war bots or different kinds of things like that. So that's quite unusual. I think that's unique. It's not 100% unique in my opinion, but it's quite unique. So I give it 4 points for originality. It's had influence on other stories, I think, but I think it's been limited a little bit. So I'd give it 2 points. As far as sales are concerned in the system I'm using, it probably rates a 3. As far as influence on public discourse, I don't think it really has had a big influence. I mean, the concept of Islamic dystopia cyberpunk certainly is original, and I think maybe more people should be talking about it. But as far as I know, the influence would be around 2 points, so 11 points at all. So the downsides of the story could be that people could accuse it of portraying Islam in a bad way, as being Islamophobic, as portraying Muslims in a stereotypical, untrue manner. I personally don't really worry about that so much. I think that sometimes there's portrayals that are negative that are fair. But I would say that Christians shouldn't be immensely concerned about the growth of Islam across the world. I don't think that's going to happen. So maybe a downside could be that the story puts a focus on something which I don't think is all that important. Of course, it wouldn't be unique in that sense. C.S. Lewis in The Last Battle, we could say, put a focus on a quite close to Islamic culture in Kellerman. The Constant Tower is my choice for number six. A number of people have recommended to me books by Carol McDonald. I know Carol McDonald. I've never met her in person, but I've had a few conversations with her, and I've read some of her short stories. Well, one in particular I've read very closely. I helped edit a short story of hers. I'm really impressed with her work. I think she's a great writer. I can't be sure if this story, The Constant Tower, is the best of her stories or the most original, but it was one of the ones recommended to me. And when I read the description and some of the reviews, I was impressed by the idea, intrigued with it, that there'd be these towers. This is what it is. They're towers that protect human beings, keep them safe from the Creator's ancient curse, is how it's said. It's also true that people teleport every night during the night when they sleep, and the towers have a role to do with that, and that can be manipulated to a degree. That's almost reminds me of dreams or nightmares where people are changing position, you know, at night. And another good thing to be said about this fantasy is it doesn't seem to have any connection, as far as from the reviews I read or things I saw, to Tolkien. There is no elves or dwarves or sword and sorcery play. Now, it's not necessarily bad doing that kind of thing. I just sort of feel like it's overdone if we're going to talk about originality. So I give Carol 5 points for her originality. As far as influence in other stories, I honestly don't know of any, but I'm not really sure, so I'll say 2 points. As far as sales are concerned, I really, again, don't know. I would estimate, based on the number of Amazon reviews I saw, that the sales might be around 2. As far as influence on public discourse, again, I don't really know of any, but I think there probably should be some. So I would say that it was about 2 points or 11 points total. As far as downsides are concerned, one reviewer mentioned sexuality and violence. Other comments make it plain that while the Creator is clearly referenced in the story, other Christian ideas are subject to interpretation, not necessarily really overt. Now, that's good or bad depending on the person you ask. It's just worth pointing out that it might not be very clearly a Christian story, even though there's a clear reference to the Creator. Okay, number 5 on my list is a story called The Mote in God's Eye. That's a collaboration between Larry Niven, a well-known science fiction writer, kind of the past, really, and Jerry Pournelle, who is a Catholic writer, openly Catholic. Larry Niven was not known to be a Christian. He's not a Christian as far as I know. And Jerry Pournelle, of course, was very overt Catholic in a world of science fiction that was very secular. Now, the story takes place in a future universe that was largely created by Dr. Pournelle. So the whole society overall is Catholic, though, of course, not every individual is. And in many ways, it represents feudal Earth because there's a monarchy, there's dukes, there's nobles, and leadership is given to people who are inherited by birthright rather than through a democratic process. So the story is, it puts overtly Christian characters in a world where they meet aliens. And that situation doesn't really, I guess, line up with the Christian gospel very well, because the aliens don't have a sense of needing a savior. They aren't aware of that they need that anyway. Now, the story treats evolution seriously as if it's, you know, actually true, and tries to show how it is that aliens could be more evolved, quote unquote, than human beings, and could be superior to humans by evolution, by extreme specialization, as it turns out. So for its originality, I give the story a 5 for sure. As far as influence on other stories are concerned, it probably has had influence, but I'm not supremely aware of it. From what I know, this story is kind of a standalone thing, though it has had some sequels. I'll give it, and it certainly hasn't influenced Christian authors that I know of, so I'll give it 2 points. As far as sales are concerned, I think that it sold reasonably well, though I wouldn't say it's a big franchise, no movie deals, right? So 3 points. As far as influence on public discourse is concerned, it's a kind of story that maybe would make you think about aliens and evolution, that kind of thing. But as far as I know, it really isn't inspiring a lot of that kind of talk. So I would give it 2 points or 12 points overall. As for downsides, I think Protestants get a little bit shorted in this tale. That's fine. I kind of did the favor back again when I made Medieval Mars, which would sound like a Catholic setting, but I made it largely Protestant. I also think that treating evolution so seriously could offend people who take a certain strong view of biblical creationism. Doesn't necessarily bother me that, you know, the issue of creationism. I'm willing to do evolution as a story idea. I'm fine with that. But I would have been happier if the story didn't more to account for God's purpose or plan for an alien race. The tale didn't, though, altogether neglect that aspect of the story. And finally, the story title, The Mote in God's Eye, seems to actually be poking fun at God, but it actually isn't. There's a specific story reason why the title is what it is. My number four choice is Demon, a Memoir. You know, writing a story that includes demons is something that Christian authors certainly have done a lot of times. It's really common. It's been going on for a long time, too, even before we had a concept of Christian authors, you know, Dr. Faust. But the approach that's going on here that happens in Demon tries to delve into what motivates a demon, and that hasn't been looked at as thoroughly, in my opinion, since the time of Milton. And it hasn't been written from the demonic point of view that I knew about, other than the previous Screwtape letters. Especially when you ponder why demons hate humans, that marks Demon a Memoir as more original than many other stories. So overall, I'd give this a 4 for originality. It's not entirely original, but it does do some original things. I'd say influence on other stories. I don't really know for sure, but I suspect it's been minimal, 2 points. As far as sales are concerned, I think it's sold well, and the public is generally aware of it. 4 points. As far as influence on public discourse is concerned, I don't know that it's had a huge influence, but it at least has gotten out enough to get people to talk about the issue of demons at least a little bit. So I'd give it 3 points. On the downside, I wrote a personal blog post saying that I felt the demon really didn't convince me that this was a demonically evil character, the demon, I mean. It rather seemed actually to humanize the demon and create empathy for them, which for a reason I won't give away in this podcast. I felt, though, the story is something Christians should read because it could inspire some conversation about the nature of demons and how they are and how they are not like humans. So I think it's a good story. I think it's worth thinking about in terms of an original story world, worth recommending in this place here, even though there might be some downsides. My number 2 choice is Paralandra by C.S. Lewis. It's interesting that I would put one of the 3 books of Lewis's Space Trilogy, or some people call it the Ransom Trilogy or the Cosmic Trilogy, and not all 3. However, I don't feel the same about all 3 of them. The first one actually is a fun read, Out of the Silent Planet. It might be my favorite as far as the most entertaining to read, but it parallels an awful lot of science fiction stories of the era it was written and previous stories before it was written. For that reason, it's not extremely original. And That Hideous Strength, the 3rd book in the series, returns to Earth, and it has a lot of commentary about the bad things that science can do, which I think that Screwtape Letters had already talked about, modernism and that modernistic attitude. Of course, now we're in a postmodern time, so some of the things that Lewis was looking at aren't exactly the same kind of issues we deal with today. So Paralandra, I find it's quite original. I think that it's not, of course, completely original. It borrows from what C.S. Lewis wrote previously in the Bible, so I'd give it a 4 for originality. But I think it's had some influence, though I would say the influence is actually kind of negative, because this story series that Lewis wrote kind of shuts the door on science fiction, because it says basically that Earth is the only planet in which there has been sin. Therefore, it's very key to God's plan that Venus, the Eve figure on Venus, does not fall into sin, because that's where the story takes place and that's what the action of the story revolves around. Dr. Ransom trying to keep Dr. Weston successfully from being the tempter. Interesting that that's how the story is. It shuts off the rest of the solar system or outer space for future exploration for Christian writers or stories, because it implies the only world that has stories is Earth. Now, Lewis could have taken the exact same approach with fantasy. Like in Narnia, in The Magician's Nephew, there's a wood between the worlds, and you can go into this forest with ponds in it and cross into different worlds. Now, if every one of those worlds other than Earth we came from had no sin in it, well, obviously it wouldn't be a very interesting story world, because while it would be, you know, beautiful and wonderful if no other places had sin, sin creates conflict and it makes stories more interesting. You know, that interesting irony that there are places you'd rather live than read about, and there are other places you'd rather read about than live. I think the story influence has been like a 3, but it's been kind of negative. As far as sales, I think it's sold well, though not as well as Narnia, definitely not like Lord of the Rings. So 3. I think influence on public discourse, I'd have to give it a 3. So I'd give it 13 points total. On the downside, it's been criticized as showing the E figure that I mentioned as stereotypical, old-fashioned views of femininity, even patriarchal view that Space Eve lacks agency, among other complaints. Professor Weston, the antagonist of the story, who kind of serves as Satan's sock puppet, we should note, though, is also kind of a wooden character that doesn't have a lot of depth. In fact, the main character that has depth is Ransom. Nobody else really does. My biggest idea, or my criticism, would be the story reinforces ideas. Like I already said, that writing about aliens acting as human beings is unchristian, even though Lewis is fine with portraying animals and mythological beings as equivalent to human beings. That kind of bothers me. I wish that wasn't true. My number two choice is Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis's look at what a demon would advise another one to do, putting the story of demons in contemporary times from the point of view of his writing, that was quite a bold idea, and it had quite an influence at the time. I know that there are people who are reading this book and the story that were not Christian at all. It kind of reached the public imagination for the time. The Screwtape Letters isn't Lewis's most renowned work. Narnia is, but I would say it's among his most original. I would say, though, it does borrow on previous demon ideas, and so I'd give it a 4 for originality. I would say that its influence was quite strong on other stories at one time, but it's diminished, so I'd give it 3 points. Sales of the story have been steady, but are not as high as Narnia or Lord of the Rings, of course, 3 points. Though as far as the point of view of influence on public discourse, I think that's one thing that this story has really shined in. It may be that because it's known to have Christian content, that people who are not Christians would be less likely to look at the story in the first place. But if people do read the story or are aware of the story, I think it influences that real honest talk about demons, what motivates them, what they think. So I'd give this 4 points or 14 points total. I think the major downside of this book, you know, I think it's a really great book. I don't think it has much in the way of downsides. But one thing is that cultural issues have moved on since Lewis's time, and has the way that people write letters and correspond with each other. So the things that Lewis talked about in the style of his day, in what he meant to be a conversational manner, that manner of conversation has changed and kind of seems wooden and old-fashioned today to a lot of people. And also, some of the cultural issues have moved on. Not all of them. Many of the things are exactly the same, but there are a few things in postmodern times that Lewis does not account for, like the rise of modern neo-paganism, for example, or for general denial of objective truth, which is so common today. So number one on my list shouldn't surprise anyone. If you're probably going to make the number one on almost anyone's list is Lord of the Rings. Part of the reason why it's there is because its influence is so enormous and it's so well known. Not so much because it is, in fact, the most original story world. Okay, there's a lot original there. But Tolkien wasn't actually trying to be original so much. He was drawing from stories of the past, from legends, from fairy tales, from mythology. And he wanted to also include some elements of Christian theology, Christian doctrine. And he took all these things and he made them into a world that winds up being pretty unique. Still, you can see the roots of where a lot of these things come from, in my opinion. So I would say that his originality is a 4. As far as influence on other stories are concerned, how can you have more influence than that? I mean, there's a tremendous influence, so I would give it a 5. And sales, the overall sales of this series and all related products, totally a 5. How can you get more? As far as influence on public discourse is concerned, do people really discuss the meaning of the Ring of Power and other story elements? Do they really do that or they get caught up in the action? How many people are even aware of the fact that Christian ideas inspired Tolkien? Sure, Christians are aware of it, at least some are. But I don't know. I feel the story falls down here. I almost feel like my rating is too harsh at times. But when I give it, so I gave it 2 points. But then some part of my mind goes, well, maybe 2 points isn't wrong. You know, maybe if I gave it 3 points, I'd feel bad about it too. But it wouldn't make a difference either way. Lord of the Rings is still going to be number one on this list. I think the downside is how many people miss the intended meaning. So I've had these conversations with people where I explain, hey, look, do you know that Tolkien has got Christian meaning? And people look at me blank stares. And I've had this conversation in the army many times. And even with other people, some of the people I've had a conversation with, people who were English majors, you know, that don't know this. Surprisingly, this is going to surprise a friend of mine that teaches English that anybody would think that. But, things like Frodo bearing the ring paralleling Christ's passion, or Gandalf coming back from the dead like Christ's resurrection, or Aragorn returning to Gondor as being like the second coming of Christ. These are things that people don't know. A lot of people don't know. Now, I think we should go out and, I guess, reclaim Tolkien, as it were, and tell people what it means and where these things come from. And I'm just kind of astounded and disappointed that so many people don't know it already. Even the issue of the nature of good and evil has caught up in the discussion of the ring, a lot of people seem to miss. So I wish that were not the case. I wish people would pick up on that symbolism a little more. And also, some of the neo-pagans I know, I have sisters that are into that kind of stuff, are not, how do I say, they are not bothered in the slightest by the Christian elements of Tolkien, even if it's pointed out to them. They don't like C.S. Lewis. They don't want to read C.S. Lewis, but they're cool with Lord of the Rings. So I guess I think that's a bad thing. I think maybe Tolkien was too subtle. I think that, don't want to whack people between the eyes with their Christian meanings. But there's a point at which his entire franchise has been taken over by people who don't believe in God, basically, or that's who the main fans are. So I think that's a problem. So what's my conclusion here? If I look at all these 10, created these two posts or these two podcasts, I had in mind that there would be some differences you could see between Christian and non-Christian stories. One of the expectations I had is that the Christian stories would be less original, but that I don't really find that with the rating system I created. I'm creating a rating system and I try to stick to it faithfully, and I find out that actually the real difference is Christian stories have sold less and had less cultural influence, less discussion, So that's not exactly a shocker, right? I mean, maybe it's a revelation to me, but it's not exactly a shocker because, there's no movies on this list other than Lord of the Rings. The rest of these stories haven't been made into movies. And, of course, a lot more movies have been made out of the other series that I talked about. So the influence is less of Christian writers, and that certainly influences how much an original story idea might get people's attention. But it may be that Christian fans of speculative fiction are less interested in originality in the first place. Maybe we, like Christian readers in general, are perfectly fine with there being less originality. Maybe that's a factor. I really don't know. I'm not sure. But anyway, that's something that I have thought about. I also want to mention some of the other stories I considered that I didn't include in this list. So I considered, I don't think I want to list the names. I did list a set of names in the blog posts I created in Travis's Big Idea or in speculativefaith.lorehaven.com. If you want to look at those places, you can see my exact list. But I want to say that some of these other stories, for example, I have the Chronicles of Narnia on here. I love Narnia. So when I'm talking about most original story world, I don't necessarily mean a story world that I love the most, which is not exactly the same thing. Also, John C. Wright, I have a lot of respect for him and his ability to write a story world that's engaging, that's mesmerizing, but being engaging or mesmerizing isn't necessarily the same as original. Aesthetics matter when you're reading a story. So some of the people that are on my list that didn't get picked, don't feel bad, especially for my friends. Don't feel bad. Don't be mad at me. But I picked ones that I thought the ideas themselves were quite original. Here's another example. I love the book Till We Have Faces by C.S. Lewis, but that story is basically a myth retold that doesn't rate high in originality, but still a great story and still thought-provoking. So don't take the originality thing too strongly. I do think that Christian stories overall, or writers' stories by Christian authors, could be more original, that we would benefit from being more original, that it might increase our originality in the story world or in the world in general, because I feel that if that's one of the things our stories are missing, we're repeating too much of the same kind of thing. That's just an opinion. It's hard to say. It's not even possible for me to have read. I haven't even read all the things that have been written by Christians, so it's hard for me to say that. That's just how things seem to me. So I did one more thing, generally pick out of stories more of the ones I knew than the ones I didn't know. But I did take advice from people who commented on Facebook and elsewhere. But anyway, that's what I got for this week. If you have comments, you have questions, if you like what I've got here, please follow me. And if you've got any questions or comments, please put them below the post here. Thanks very much. Have a good day. Bye.